Genesis chapter 13, and I'll just begin reading in verse 6, and I'll pray. Lord, as we open your word, may you open our hearts. You have a word for every one of us today, a fresh manna, a now word. And you can do it just like on the day of Pentecost. One person can speak and each one can hear it in their own language, the wonderful works of God. So I pray that wherever we need your word today, let it find its mark. And as was offered in prayer earlier, may it bear much fruit. May it get deep roots and be, Lord, fruitful for your glory and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 13, 6 says, now the land was not able to support them. Speaking of Abram, his name had not been changed to Abraham at the time, and his nephew Lot. It says, the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. That means they could not dwell together in peace. And then verse 7, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And then this phrase, the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Whenever we're in strife or conflict or disagreement with someone, it doesn't typically stay within us, does it? Sometimes it branches out and affects others, and even unbelievers can watch. And then it says in verse 8, so Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Disagreements and conflicts are just part of life in this world. That's just the way it is. Disagreements do not have to turn into huge explosions that divide us. In some ways, in some topics, some areas, we can just agree to disagree. And we see things maybe from a different perspective, and that's fine. But how we handle those disagreements does affect the quality of our relationships, doesn't it? Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. It's part of one of his, I guess, most famous messages, I guess, called the Sermon on the Mount. This first part is called the Beatitudes. And verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, sons or daughters, children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Would you say that with me? Blessed are the peacemakers. That's the title of the message this morning. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers, there's a blessing that comes from being at peace with God. God is the ultimate peacemaker, isn't he? Thank God, and the peace giver. And I'll say it like this, by God's grace, Christ's cross, and the power of his spirit, we can be brought into peace with God. By God's grace, that is giving us what we could never earn or deserve, completely just of his own goodwill, he provides righteousness for us, his very own righteousness he credits us with. Christ's cross is what paves the way for that grace, because he suffered and died on that cross to bear the judgment and wrath against our sins in our place. Jesus, think about that. It says when he tasted death for us, he tasted spiritual death, separation from God, so that we never have to face that. Thank God. And the power of his spirit, resurrection power that not only in his goodness convicts us of our sin, but in his love shows us our need and said, I've taken care of your need for you, and I supplied it through my son at the cross. So when we come to that place where we come to Jesus as Lord with faith in our hearts, we are born again, his spirit indwells us, and we have peace with God. If we do what God says in his word, we not only can have peace with God, we can have the peace of God. And I've come to experience and learn that when I'm at peace with God and I have the peace of God, then it can help me to be at peace with others. So blessed are the peacemakers. But if I'm in turmoil on the inside, it's easy for me to be in, I get easily triggered or whatever it may be, and come into conflict or strife. And in the devotional, on the day's topic is how can I resolve conflict? And I want to emphasize how I can resolve it in God's way. That's the issue is, how can I resolve conflict God's way? Because sometimes we could be in a situation we might call peace, but it's not a peace that glorifies God. What I mean by that is, we can not be in one accord and in harmony because all we're doing is trying to keep the other person from exploding. Y'all ever heard the phrase, you'll walk on eggshells? And sometimes, you know, it might look like peace, but that's not the peace that glorifies God. He wants us to come into a genuine one accord. And I just wanted to share quickly four ways I think that sometimes that can cause strife and conflict, because if we know what can cause it, I believe it can help us discern and address it, the root issues. So let me give you a couple of them, and then I'd like to ask you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5 with me. 2 Kings chapter 5, if you'll hold your spot there, and I'll just tell you what they are. First of all, the first one is just like selfish desires or motives. Selfish desires and motives, and these are, we all have to contend with these because we're human. So it's not like we'll ever arrive in this life, but selfish motives and desires. And if you want to just leave that on the screen, let me read you what those scriptures say. James 4:1. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? So sometimes quarrels, fights, strife, conflict can come from just our self or desires. And then in verse 3, James 4:3, it says, even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. So sometimes there is just the self that we all have to deal with. There is desires that are not necessarily godly that we have to deal with. A second area is pride. Proverbs 13:10, the New Living Translation said, pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. Pride leads to conflict. So pride, again, one of those potential areas we all can struggle with. Pride can be subtle to recognize in our own lives because pride is not always arrogant and like, I'm better than everyone else. That can be a display. Pride is just simply self-focused. And so I can be so absorbed and focused on myself that I'm not focused on anyone else. That's still a display of pride. Pride can be, it actually can indicate a low self-esteem or insecurity. That can be a manifestation of pride as well. Pride, the Bible says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Sometimes we don't want to listen, do we? And we just be honest, and that can be a display of pride as well. So selfish, either desires or motives, pride. And then 2 Kings chapter 5, would you look at verse 10? I want to ask you why this man Naaman became furious and went away in a rage. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10 says this, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. This was a Syrian general and he had leprosy, some type of a skin disease. And a girl was captured who was from Israel. And she mentioned to his wife, if the prophet in Israel, if he went to him, this prophet would heal him. So he went and he took a lot of presents, man. He took money and he took clothing and he goes to Elisha, and Elisha tells his messenger, go tell him, take a dip. 7 times, and he'll come up clean. And this is what the next verse says. This is 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he'll surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. He'll just wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Verse 12, are not the Abana and the Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Did Naaman have an expectation that wasn't necessarily correct? So see how expectations, we can have them and not necessarily be evil. I don't think it was evil, But he allowed that expectation, in this case, not only to make him furious and angry and left in a rage, he would have robbed himself of healing. Thankfully, I can relate to Naaman, because sometimes I can be upset about something and I'm like, ah. But after I think about the Lord and his goodness and blessing to me, and I know I'm not at peace with the Lord, or maybe peace with someone else, and I calm my emotions down, I'm willing to listen and try to make it right. Blessed are the peacemakers. So thankfully he did. He went and he took 7 dips and he came up clean and healed, said his skin was like a baby. And he went back to the man of God and he said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Do you see how he resolved it in a way that gave glory to God? So he got the blessing and God got the glory. All right, and then finally, there are also evil spirits that can sow discord, because the devil knows we're stronger when we're in one accord, we're in unity. The Bible says in John 13:2, that the devil put it into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. And those demon spirits are always trying to agitate. So not everything is the devil, but it can be. So do you see how knowing these ahead of time can say, wait a minute, am I just dealing with a little selfishness or pride on my part? Or is this coming from somewhere else outside of me? And it's just trying to bring a spirit of division into our relationship or into our home. Let me read you something that I wrote on this day in the devotional. Conflicts are opportunities for us to grow closer to God, grow more like Christ, and grow closer to one another. They're opportunities. I really try to keep that in mind now. Opportunities to grow closer to God, grow more like Christ, and closer to one another if we handle them God's way. So let me give you 3 ways from Scripture that I believe can help promote oneness and being at peace and can help us to resolve conflict to the glory of God. Here they are. Resolve conflict, first of all, with faith. Resolve conflict with faith. Many of you know this Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:1. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The word walk there is a lifestyle. It's a step-by-step walk in newness of life, a lifestyle. Some translations say we live by faith. And genuine faith in our heart leads to action that is consistent with our faith in God and our faith in his word. So if in one setting, maybe God's word says, I want you to do this or that, we do it. In another setting, if it says, be still and know that I'm God, I just want you to trust me in this one, we'll do that. So again, faith, it begins with faith in God because we want to bring him in. The first step in resolving any conflict is to make sure that we are right with God. Because the proverb says that when we are right with God, he can even make our enemies turn and be at peace with them. That's not always a promise, but he's able to do it if that's what comes, if that's the need, and if it would bring him glory. So when conflict arises, let's just, if we're willing, let's just examine our own heart. Lord, am I doing something to agitate this? Am I doing something to edge it on? Have I been proud, selfish? Is this a demon? And we just need to come into agreement together in prayer and take authority over that spirit. So to just examine ourselves, then if there's any attitude or action we need to repent, then repent, but don't stop there. Receive God's forgiveness, and then take a step that would help resolve that conflict. It's important to unite together in prayer. Isn't it hard to really be in discord with someone you're praying with? And sometimes you don't even want to eat together. You don't want to pray. Oh, y'all know about that? Thank God for his grace, though. Brothers and sisters, we are not each other's enemy. We have an enemy, but it's not us. Blessed are the peacemakers. So resolve conflict first with faith and then with fellowship. And I'll give you the scripture. And then if you would join me in just a moment over in Matthew chapter 18. Faith, fellowship, and then forgiveness. We'll get to that. Faith, fellowship, and forgiveness. Let me read you the scriptures in Philippians 2. beginning in verse 1. The Bible says this, therefore, if there's any consolation, some of your translations will say encouragement, the same word. If there's any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, that means if there's any comfort from his love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if we know the Lord, we've been born again, his Holy Spirit is in us, so we want to be in close fellowship with him because it's in close fellowship with him that he produces the fruit of the Spirit in us, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's all the fruit that God's Spirit produces in us out of close fellowship. But then he doesn't stop there. He says this, fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. I can picture this just like a God as a father saying, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So as we're in fellowship with God's Spirit, we are walking in the love that Jesus has for us, then it can help us be in one accord with one another. So then verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. So there's that selfishness part. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. There is the pride to esteem or to value. Consider others better than himself. Verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's a good, I'm gonna try to focus on learning these verses this week. Not just to learn them, ultimately I want to live it out. But if you want to maybe pick verse 4 and try to focus on that with me. Lord, help me. I gotta be mindful, let me consider. I have my own interests, but let me also be interested in others as well. And then verse 5 says, let this mind or this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Thank God, the Amplified Bible says, look to him as your example in selfless humility. Isn't it always a challenge in relationships to be selfless and humble? We all? What did he say? If you can't say amen, say oh me. So, but look into Jesus. Think about this. Deity, the Son of God, who was willing to humble himself to such a degree that he came to this earth. The Bible says he took on the form of a servant and came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He didn't sin, but he came and limited himself in some degrees to just putting himself in a body, a human body, and allowed those he loved and came to reach to reject him, ridicule him, spit upon him, beat him unmercilessly, and nail him to a cross where he experienced the wrath of God. The Bible says he did that because he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. And because of that, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will one day bow. And every tongue will confess that he alone is Lord. Blessed are the peacemakers. Would you turn to somebody and just give them your brightest smile and tell them, blessed are the peacemakers. If we follow the Lord's example, first of all, we will grow. We'll never arrive in this life, but we will grow. And God can use us as a testimony to be in fellowship, not only with him, but with one another. So resolve conflict with faith, fellowship, and forgiveness. Would you turn to Matthew 18 if you haven't already? Faith, fellowship, and forgiveness. Because forgiveness is a practical expression of our faith in God and of our fellowship with him. Let me, before I read these verses, just say what forgiveness is not. I'll say it like this. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not endangering. It's not excusing or eliminating. So forgiveness is not a feeling. Can any of you relate to this? You're hurt and you're angry. You're wounded. Someone has hurt you. And you know in your heart that it's right to forgive, and you want to, but, and you can pray, and I forgive them, but you're still like raging on the inside. You still feel like you're angry, you're hurt, and even bitter toward them. Has anyone ever done that and you feel like you're just being hypocritical? A couple of you? All right. I've learned this. Don't let the devil condemn you over that, because your heart is right. That's where the faith comes in. We live by faith, not by emotion or whatever it is. And just the desire to want to make it right shows that God is working in you and giving you grace. Emotions can heal in time, but that first step is to release it. Jesus compared forgiveness, I'll show you, to like releasing someone in debt. Remember what we call the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, all right? So it's not a feeling, it's not endangering, it's not staying in an abusive or dangerous situation. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not excusing. Well, that's just how they are. And no, it's not. If it's sin, there is no excuse. Or eliminating the consequences. If someone vandalized your property, you may not hold personal vengeance toward them and you're willing to release them, but they still may have to pay to get your property back like it was before they damaged it. So what is forgiveness then? It's a choice that we make by faith in God to release that offense or to release the offender. Matthew chapter 18, if you look at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. I think maybe Peter was thinking, I'm gonna show the Lord how spiritual I am here. I don't know what he thought. But Jesus said to him, I didn't tell you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And then verses 24 and 25. And when he had begun to settle accounts, you know, the Bible says we will each give account of ourselves to God. So when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That is an unbelievable amount of money. And the next verse says he was not able to pay it. He wouldn't have lived long enough lifetimes to pay that amount off. But he pleaded with the king, because the king said, you're gonna be sold, your family's gonna be sold, you're gonna go to debtor's prison and work, and whatever you earn is gonna go toward your debt. And he pleaded with him, please have mercy on me, just give me time. He didn't have enough time. But this is what it said, the king was moved with compassion and forgave him all the debt. That's grace from the king. But then he went out and found a fellow servant. And the Bible says this fellow servant owed him 10,000, I believe it was, talents. I'm sorry, denarii. It's basically a day's wage. It might be 4 months' pay. That is doable in time. And the man said, same thing. Just be patient with me. Let me work toward it. I'll pay you back. And that one who had received all that forgiveness said no and had him imprisoned because of that debt. And the comparison or the contrast really is that God has freely and completely forgiven us. And then he says, now on your forgiveness that I have given you, I'm asking you now to forgive your brother or sister when they offend you. And to receive that forgiveness. So when the king heard what happened, do you know what he did? That's what the Bible says, that he went to him in verse 32. He said, I forgave you all that debt. Verse 33, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And verse 34, and his master was angry, the king was angry, and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. But he couldn't pay. So he delivered him to the torturers. This is what the scripture teaches about unforgiveness. The Bible teaches that unforgiveness imprisons us. Now, please bear with me a moment, because when we're offended and we're hurt, and maybe rightfully so, we have the emotion, Please don't get down on yourself and get discouraged because you're hurting or because you're angry. Forgiveness is a step of faith, not emotion. It's based on our receiving forgiveness from him and trusting him. But if we refuse to do what he says, then what happens is we become imprisoned and demon spirits start to torture us. One translation says the tormentors, the spirits torment us. In Acts chapter 8, God gave discernment to Peter about a man. It looked like a financial issue, but Peter said, I discern and perceive that you are poisoned by bitterness. So unforgiveness can become bitterness within us. So then unforgiveness imprisons and poisons us. And then over in Hebrews 12, it says that bitterness can be like a root that grows up in our heart, and then many become defiled. Remember Abraham and Lot's servants and the Canaanites and all watching? So imprisons and pollutes or poisons us, but then it branches out and pollutes others. That's why it's so important, being a peacemaker, that's a testimony to the glory of God. Let me close with just one last scripture in Romans, but I want to give you this testimony. Some of you remember if you watched the movie, if you've ever seen it, whether it was last Saturday or the movie called I Can Only Imagine, that boy was abused. And his mom, he watched his mom suffer, and he rightfully was hurt. And he had some bitterness in his heart. And as he grew up, he was trying to, you know, write music and worship and lead, like in youth groups and so forth. And he went back to his father one day, and God had done a work in his dad, the one who had hurt him. And his dad asked him, how come God forgive all of these people, but he can't forgive me? And his name is Bart. He's the lead singer of Mercy Me. He said, God can forgive you, Dad. I can't. That could have been the end of the story right there. We'd have never heard of the song I Can Only Imagine, which has literally touched millions around the world. It was not just played on religious or Christian stations. It was played on secular stations. But do you see how when he made that choice, he forgave and he reconciled and he wrote that song about his dad. And his dad was someone who he detested to someone he wanted to be like. That's the grace of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. And his dad took the step to try to heal that relationship with his son. I just heard this yesterday as a pastor from Montreal. Romans 12, I'll close there in just a minute. Romans 12, let me get there. Just a quick testimony. I heard it yesterday, but it was from Sunday's message. He was in New York. He's a visiting pastor. I've seen him up there before. But his church congregation in Montreal. And there was a couple of family members in a church in Europe who served the Lord together. They were close. And something happened between them. And the fathers went their separate ways and started, they just wouldn't have anything to do with each other and didn't speak. In fact, they didn't just not have anything to do with each other. They quit going to church, both of them. Like God was to blame. And over the years, that carried on. This pastor, there was a pastor up in this church in Montreal. They did a series on forgiveness, 4 weeks. And one of the men was there with his family. And he thought, I don't want to even hear this. But then after about week three or so, he started softening. And so they're coming to the place where if someone has hurt you, I want you to release them to the Lord. That was where they had come to the series. And the pastor said, turn around and greet everyone and give them a nice smile and welcome them. And they from Europe to Montreal, and the man turns around behind him, and it's the other man that he hadn't talked to in years, who are in the same service, one pew behind each other in Montreal. And the one man took his family and sat on another part of the church. But the Lord was working. Like I told you, he works in me sometimes. And get those emotions calm. They end up coming back together, reconciling, hugging each other, loving each other. And just recently, one of their teenage sons was baptized in that church. Blessed are the peacemakers. I know forgiveness is not easy. That's why we need the Lord. We got to stay close to him. That's where the fellowship comes in. Romans chapter 12, I'll close with these verses, beginning in verse 17. Romans 12, 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, all right, I'm gonna make you feel better. Would you say those words with me? If it is possible. Now, we have to be wise in dealing with some people. I wrote about that in devotional because Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, beware of this man. You got to keep your distance. Sometimes it's all right to love people from a distance if that's what we have to do for a time. It might just be wise. So he says, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. All we can do is our part. And then he says in verse 19, loved ones, don't avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I'll repay, says the Lord. Honestly, can't the Lord do a better job of handling it than we can?
Yes, he can.
Therefore, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you'll reap coals of fire on his head. Now, that might sound like it's good. Like, that's exactly what I feel like doing. I just... And that could be that they may blush with embarrassment by you being good to them. Or it could be that you actually are helping them to carry some burden or something for the Lord. Ultimately, it's for his glory. So he says this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Blessed are the peacemakers. First of all, the peacemakers receive peace from God and have the grace to be able to be peacemakers with others. So I want to just ask you this today, and please, I'm not asking any indication. You'll know in your heart. But first of all, will you trust God and receive his unconditional love? Receive his forgiveness, his peace, his grace. Will you open up and just believe him today that he's a good father and he wants to bless you? Not only give you peace, but to help us all be a peacemaker. And then will you ask him for wisdom and how to live this out? In fact, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. For some of you, maybe you can relate to what I was sharing of these testimonies and you're hurting. It doesn't mean you're mean or evil or sinful. It means you're human. You've been hurt, wounded. Maybe someone is not even here. I'm talking about even in life. But maybe there is a little bit of something there that you want that healing in your heart. You don't want it to poison you. You don't want it to pollute others and spread. And maybe today is going to be your day of release. Will you just release it to the one who loved you and forgave you? Really, when it comes down to it, we couldn't possibly forgive someone as much as the Lord has forgiven us through the cross. So with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you just want prayer, just stay right where you are. But if you would just say, Brother Rocky, would you pray for God's grace for me? I want to release this person to the Lord. I'm not going to try to take personal vengeance. I'm going to trust him to handle it. Pray for them and by his grace overcome evil with good. Is there anyone who would just say, Brother Rocky, pray for me. I want God's grace to do that. Would you hold your hands up just for a moment, please? Thank you so much. God bless you. Go ahead and put your hands down. I thank you for your honesty. Lord, thank you for our brothers and sisters. I believe we've all been there. So we stand with them and lift them up to your throne of grace. And right now, we're inviting you in. You can help us do it, Lord. Our faith and trust in you. We don't want to have anything between us. So Lord, I pray even right now, in the authority of the name of Jesus, I take authority over demon, divisive spirits and deceptive spirits, lies, darkness, and Lord, may your grace minister healing. I pray that the key is gonna turn the lock and tormentors are gonna have to leave. We're setting ourselves free from imprisonment to the torturers today, in the name of Jesus, to the glory of God. So would you just, maybe it's one person, would you just think about them? And from your own heart, you don't have to do it out loud, but would you just tell God, Lord, because of your love and forgiveness of me, I release, and you can say their name, I release them to you. Now, Lord, where there has been that release, may you bring healing, may you bring comfort, bring grace, bring renewing. I pray for a renewing of joy this morning in the name of Jesus, because the chains are off. There's no more imprisonment. It's a new day. You've set us free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Help us, heal us, and use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Can we stand together?